If you would, turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11. My subject tonight, God's Word is essential to prayer. God's Word is essential to prayer. Now, God's Word is vital to prayer because the more you understand the Word of God, the more you understand the nature of God. And an intimate knowledge of God's Word, it will cause you to want to pray. When you get into the book, it will cause you to want to pray. Study of God's Word actually gives birth to prayer. How many know what I'm talking about? You're reading the book and God is speaking to you. You just spontaneously begin to pray and talk to God. Deep study of God's Word and frequent meditation on the Word of God, it would just naturally cause prayer to spring up from your heart and from your lips. Bible reading and prayer, they often flow together until they just become one. And you're in the Spirit. God is talking to you, and you're listening to God and talking back to God. Knowledge is power, and there is no power like the power of prayer. And I often pray, and I pray with an open Bible. I may be on my iPad, but I got the Word right there as I'm praying and I'm reading my Bible. And I want you to look at the latter part of Daniel 11:32. God said, but the people who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So the people that know God, they are strong and they do exploits. If you want to live in victory, you must think victory. You must believe in victory. You must confess victory, and you are who God said you are. You can do what God said you can do. And the Bible is a tree of life to those that will take hold of it. That's in Proverbs. The Bible is a tree of life to those that take hold of it. The Word of God is living. It is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And when the living Word becomes an important part in you, its vitality and its life-giving force is imparted to you. When that living Word becomes real inside of you, it gives you vitality and strength. I was walking today, and I realized you have a strength in your legs you haven't had in a long time. Now, I've been working a lot and using them a lot, but I was just walking, and I said, wow, my legs are so much stronger. Thank you, Lord, for that. And I just praise God. Have you got any scripture for that? I sure do. I quoted some. But the Bible says in Proverbs 4:20, it says, my son, attend to my words. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Their life to those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. And when you get the Word of God just churning over inside of you, and you're meditating on it, and it's burning, all of a sudden, woo, you got a new strength and a new power, that life-giving force that the Word brings, and it's just flowing through you. When God's Word is alive in you, things happen when you pray. Let me say that again. When God's Word is alive in you, things happen when you pray. Now, that's a real devil. But Sunday night, didn't we have a service? Pastor Ricky preached, and the Spirit of God fell, and people were rejoicing. We had a Jericho march. Well, all the services aren't like that. But that's a taste of heaven, and God just gives us that sometimes. But I'll tell you what will sustain you and what will anchor you. It is the everlasting, eternal Word of God. And when you get this Word of God and the knowledge of God's words inside your spirit man, that's when things happen when you pray. I love this. Everything Jesus did on the cross, he did it for you and me. And God's Word, it is essential to prayer. Think about this. He died that you might live. He was made sin that we could be made righteous. He became weak to make us strong. He suffered shame to give us his glory. He was condemned that we might be justified. He bore our sickness so by his stripes we could be healed. He was cast from the Father's presence so you and I could be welcomed there. And that's why the Word of God is so essential to prayer. See, you and I, we identified with Jesus in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, his life, his righteousness, his nature, his strength, his glory, his power, his peace, his joy, his love, and the inheritance that belongs to Jesus. It all belongs to us. The Bible says we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. So everything that belongs to the Lord belongs to you and me. How do we appropriate it? Through the word. Faith comes from where? By hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And the secret to victory, I will tell you, this is a secret. Many people will not do it. I was watching someone tonight, and you know who I am. You were supposed to run long before you did. And I knew your blessing was there. But see, here's the secret to victory. It is acting fearlessly on the word of God, boldly doing what God says do, confessing that you are who God says you are. And when you know the word of God, there's power in God's word. And when God speaks to you and you know that voice, it's the same voice. It's real easy to recognize. It's the same voice that said, surrender your life to me and I will bless you. And God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Sometimes we have knowledge, but fear tries to grip us. And I just tell the devil, I said, I'm not afraid. When I got saved, God spoke to me, and you've probably heard me quote it many times. He said, fear not, for I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I'm thy God. Yea, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, when God talks to you like that, and fear leaves, it leaves forever unless you let it back in. I tell people, I said, if I thought the devil was behind the door, I'd just kick it down just to see if he was there. You know, I'm not afraid to live, and I'm not afraid to die. Why is that? Because God has already told me, don't you be afraid, I'm with you. And what did Jesus tell the entire body of Christ? He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And when you're going through the hard places, he is there. So my subject tonight is God's word is essential to prayer. Let us pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you watch over it to perform it. And Lord, many times in the battles of life, we cannot see what you're doing, but we know, Lord, that you are there, and we know that there is a battle going on in the heavenlies, and we are to fight the good fight of faith, and you said if we would, we would come forth more than conquerors, and you said you would cause us to triumph, and we praise you for that. We praise you for victory. We praise you for healings. We praise you for miracles. We praise you for restoration before it ever happens, because that's what faith is about. We love you and thank you for your blessings. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to look at the latter part of Daniel 11:32 again. God says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Now, think about this. God is an intelligent being. God cannot bless ignorance. And you cannot pray effective prayers if you're ignorant of God's word. You have to know the word. You cannot have faith for a miracle if you don't know what God, first of all, you got to know God, and then you got to know what God is like. And if you're ignorant concerning God's promises and your position in Christ, you can never pray winning prayers. I don't want to beat the air. I want winning prayers. I want God, you know, that answers prayer to cast a special eye over there and say, I see some faith. Hallelujah. And I'm going to move. And he'll send you words of encouragement when you're going through the battles. And the battles are real. We don't discount that. But I will promise you this. When you get through to the other side, there will be a spirit inside of you that you know that you know. And you know you can trust God. You know you have been through something. And the trial of your faith is precious to God. God didn't cause the problem. God is going to use that problem to mold you and to shape you and to put character in you that nothing can ever move. That's how God works. Hallelujah. See, your faith will never rise above your knowledge of God. And your faith will never rise above your confession of who you are in God, what Jesus has done. And people say, I just wouldn't talk like that. You're arrogant. No, I'm not arrogant. I'm just talking about what God said about me and what God said about you. I get enough of what the devil said about me. I do. Don't you? I'd say, listen to me, devil. I'm not going to listen to your negative voice. I'm going to make you listen to my praise. And I'll just have me a praising party by myself. Hallelujah. See, the Bible, look at what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15. This is a command, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, a lot of people can quote the word, but they can't rightly divide it. They can't take their denominational glasses off long enough and the traditional glasses, and all they can see is what they've been taught. We got people like that, and you've got to be willing to listen to what God's word says, and you've got to act fearlessly on the word. Look at this, Joshua 1 and 8. I love these scriptures right here. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That means you got to speak it. It shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You got to meditate. That word means to muse. It means to say. You don't just read it. Read your Bible out loud. And when you read something and woo, and it just causes your heart to rejoice, say it out loud. Let you hear yourself say it. Let the devil hear you say it. Might be somebody near that just needs a word, and they say, what'd you say? And, you know, just a word of encouragement. So meditate there in day and night. Look at this, that thou mayest observe to do. Now, I'm not going to get into politics tonight. I promised myself I'd stay out of that. But I believe God and I believe his prophets. Hallelujah. The Bible says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And there are a lot of people in the church that have deceived themselves because I can read the book, okay? And so I got a right to divide it, though. And I got to do what God says, to observe to do according to all that is written therein. Okay, as far as I'm going with it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. I like that. I want to live in prosperity. And look at this. And then shall thou have good success. How many want to be successful? Well, God wants you to be successful. God wants you healed. God wants you blessed. That's what the word of God declares. I don't find anything negative that God has said about me. All his promises are yes and amen. And we just say amen. Hallelujah. Let it be, God. And I promise you, when you start living like that, you'll have to fight 1,000 devils. Look at this one right here. See, if you want God's blessings, you got to know God. Now, look at this. Psalms 1, verse 1. I love the Psalms. Blessed or happy is the man, the woman, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Some people are, you know, they just wrong. They can't change their mind. Don't walk in that counsel of the ungodly. If you got God's word, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's a downward progression to sin. They start out walking. Next thing you know, you're standing with them. Next thing you know, you done sit down, supping with them. Yeah. Now look at verse 2. The blessed man, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Here's that word, meditate again. And in his word doth he meditate day and night. There it is again. Look at verse 3. The blessed man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Here's that word, prosper. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Put Joshua 1:8, Psalms 1 and 1 together, verses 1 through 3. You got a winning combination. And when you're going through a hard place, say, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. Devil, let me tell you what God said about me. I'm blessed and highly favored of God. Hallelujah. See, the blessed man knows that he must obey God. He knows that whatever he does, it will prosper. Why is it going to prosper? Because God promised it, and God is a good God. See, there are laws that regulate the spirit world. There are principles, and knowledge of God, that is one of the chief principles. You've got to know. How could you be an electrician if you didn't understand the laws of electricity? You'd hurt yourself. I mean, it's great. It brings heat to our homes. It brings cooling in the refrigerator. You touch the wrong wires, it'll knock you backwards. It will knock you out. If you get enough of it going through you, that's it. But, you know, you got to understand the law of gravity. You go out of here and get on the roof and say, well, I think I'm a bird. I'll fly. And you jump, and guess what? You just broke some bones. So you've got to operate according to laws. Well, the laws of God, one of them is knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, I want to learn. How about you? I found out you can learn from almost anybody. Amen. Now, the prophets of Baal, they were on Mount Carmel. They prayed for fire, and they received none. They prayed in ignorance. they prayed in vain. They cut themselves. They were praying to a dead God. They prayed from the morning until the evening sacrifice, and they got nothing. Then Elijah, that old prophet, he walks up there, and he prays a 63-word prayer, and the fire of God fell from heaven. See, Elijah prayed with knowledge. He prayed with power. He prayed with understanding. And guess what? God answered his prayer. And the same God that answered his prayer will answer our prayer. Now, we'll go back to the Babylonian Empire. The soothsayers and the magicians, they knew the limitations of their God. They were praying to dead gods. And they told the king, no one can interpret the dream unless you tell us the dream. Well, the king, he was smarter than that. I mean, after all, he is the king. He said, no, you tell me the dream and you tell me the interpretation. But see, there was a man there, a man that refused to eat the king's food, to drink the king's wine, because he was serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name was Daniel, and Daniel knew his God. He served the true and the living God. He knew the God of heavens. He prayed with knowledge. He prayed with power. And he was able to tell the king his dream and the interpretation of that dream. So a person with knowledge that knows God, that knowledge of God, it determines the depth of your prayer. How many times have you ever been praying for something and God brings a scripture to you? Well, God wants you to take that scripture and speak it back to him. He put it in your spirit so you can declare what thus saith the Lord in the face of all adversity. You just have to say, God said this. I can't help what it looks like. I know what God said, and I'm going to believe God. So a person with knowledge, they pray with great understanding, and they pray tremendous prayers. And you cannot pray winning prayers consistently unless you have a tremendous knowledge of God. And you cannot have a tremendous knowledge of God without knowing God's word. You've got to study it. You might hear it. Some people have great memories. I think I was blessed with a great memory. I remember stuff that I don't even try to remember. Sometimes I was trying to hear a song, and I had to go somewhere and get quiet so I could get all those other songs out of my head. I get so much stuff running through my head sometimes, and I have this keen memory. And so I have to get in a quiet place, and I get alone. And I say, God, what do you want to say to me? And the world is like that. You know, the Bible talks about the last days, men's hearts failing them for fear. And I remember one time the devil, I had so much to do, he tried to get me on overload. And I would go to work, I'd take out the key to the church. I'd go to church, I'd take out the key to the house. I'd get in one car, and I had the key to the wrong car. And I'd go to work and couldn't remember going through stoplights. I'd get to work, put my key in the door. One day I walked in and I said, oh, God. I said, what's wrong with my mind? I said, my mind is in so many places. God spoke to me. Says, think about one thing at a time. And through the process of time, I made me a list of everything I was doing and what I could get off of my plate and what I couldn't. And I began to work on that list. I was running on empty. And if you're not careful, you'll get there. Because the cares of this life, they can be overwhelming at times. But if you get in this word, God says, I will keep him in perfect peace. Put Isaiah 26:3-4 up there. Isaiah 26:3-4. I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah. For in the Lord is everlasting peace. Now, if you want peace, just take this book out right here. Isaiah 26:3-4. So, church, we're in the last days. And look at the people that are forsaking God. There's a pandemic going on. People that don't come to church. They got all kind of excuses, yet they go everywhere else. And they say, I'm afraid. Well, if I was afraid, I'd get up and do it anyway. I'm just not going to live in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I got knowledge. I got power. He's given me a spirit of power. He's given me a spirit of love. He's given me the spirit of a sound mind. But see, there are people forsaking God, but at the same time, there are people in this earth that know who their God is. they have retained the knowledge of God. And in the last days, the Bible says they will be strong and do exploits. So we know our God. We know here at Westmoreland, God is a good God. That's what we're all about. That's what this church is about. And that is about knowing God. And, you know, so many people, they have man-made rules. They have religious traditions. They have doctrines of men. But people need to know what the God of the Bible has to say. Because if you go by what you were taught by someone else, all they knew was what they heard somebody else say. So you're influenced by others. Our theology is a form like that. So open your mind, open your heart, open your Bible, and listen to God. See, we teach about a God here that is a healer. We teach about a deliverer, a savior, a good God. We teach about a God that can break the power of drugs. We see people freed. Some of them don't stay. Well, they were freed. Can you say that somebody that was lame got up and walked and they weren't healed? I was in Kinston one. You were down there. They had a tent revival. A man called me and he kept the tent over and said, I want you to come down and preach. And I had my guitar down there. And they had, I don't remember if you know the boy, but he had a foot that was turned like that. He got hurt on a bicycle. And I preached a sermon about Jesus, prayed for him, and that foot straightened out. And that man was going to bring him here, and he went home, and his mother and the people told him, said, that God didn't do that. Said, that's not God. And talked the boy out of it. And guess what his foot did? He went back just like that. But if he'd have kept his eyes on Jesus, and if he'd come back for another shot, I'd have given him some more. Hallelujah. Jesus prayed for a man that was blind. He said, how do you see? He said, I see men walking the trees. He prayed again. He said, how do you see now? He said, I see all things clearly, Lord. Lord, Lord. Some people say, well, the Bible doesn't say he prayed. It doesn't say he prayed. It does not. It said he laid his hand upon him. He laid his hand on him a second time. But if I lay my hand on you, what am I going to do? I'm going to pray. I'm not just going to, let me just lay my hand on you. No, I'm going to say, come out. Be healed. I will give the command of faith in Jesus' name. That's what prayer is all about, and knowing God. And I'm learning. I'm determined to learn. I am determined to see the glory of God, because God, he is a good God. We talk about a God that can wash away your sins. I love this part. A God who can make you pure and holy and clean. Doesn't it feel good to know that your sins are washed away and that everything is in your heart that is right with God? See, we have a good God, and the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. That means that if you don't know God, then guess what? You're going to be weak. And the devil will put all of that on you that you will take. I got hurt years ago. An overhead door knocked me cold. And my legs, as a result of that, were weak. Well, I was walking today, and I said, dear God, I got this tremendous strength. Man, I'm taking this long stride. You know, woo, glory, it feels good. I mean, you know, it's been a long time, but all of a sudden something clicked. Woo, hallelujah. I dance and praise God, and I'm not feeling all that good, but I just worship him anyway. I don't have to feel good to worship him. Everything doesn't have to be up. Everything doesn't have to be rosy. All I've got to know is my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he said, clap your hands, all you people. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Dance before the Lord. Sing before the Lord. Make a joyful noise. And I'm going to have joy, and I'm going to have peace, and I'm going to have righteousness, because that's what's in the kingdom that I belong to. And that's what's in the kingdom you belong to. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom is not up there and out there, over there somewhere inside of us. And he said, Paul said, it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, when you know God like that, and the storms are coming, you can get a secret place and say, God, I'm just going to rest under the shadow of your wing. Hallelujah. See, if you're weak, you can't do any mighty works. That's what I'm saying. God wants us to be strong. He wants us to do exploits. And it's all a faith transaction. And that doesn't mean that if you're having a problem, you don't have faith, it means your faith is at work. It may not have gotten here yet, but it's coming. Coming down the road. Goodness and mercy. They follow me everywhere I go. People say, are you crazy? No, that's what the Bible says. Goodness and mercy. They're on my trail. They're on your trail. You just got to confess it. You got to believe it. And God wants us to be strong. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came so we could know God. He came to bridge the gap between fallen man and a holy God. Look at John 17:3. Jesus said, and this is eternal life, life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So the Bible talks about the true God. So there are a lot of gods. Everybody that's talking to God is not talking about the same God that you're talking about. So who is the true God? You know, everybody comes, and we would, one day when we were out, I was out in the yard, and some people from one of the, they came up to convert me, okay, I'll put it like that. And one of them, the men, he kept talking to me. I said, well, tell me this. What can your God do that Jesus can't do? He said, well, Jehovah is God. I said, well, I know that too. I said, God identified himself in the person of his son, Jesus, his eight compound redemptive name, Jehovah Sid Canu, my righteousness, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And I just went through the whole thing with him. And I said, get your Bible out. And I'll just quote mine. I said, you know it anyway. See, they are armed when they come. And I said, I want you to read John 1:1. I said, your Bible says, in the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God. I said, now yours says a God, a little God. I said, mine says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, a big G. I said, now I'm going to help you out because you probably hadn't found this one yet. I said, open your Bible and read Titus 2:13. And I want you to get this. I said, because you probably missed it and haven't changed that translation you have yet. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I said, it says, God is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And they left and gave me a little book. And he come back to see me later, and I let him in. And I read that little book, and I was armed because I read the book. I read his little book, but I read the book. And he started spitting his scriptures out, and I was just quoting right out of the Bible. I just rattled one right back off because I read his little book. I knew where it was coming from. What do you do with the Holy Spirit? He said, well, he's the Spirit of God. I said, that's right. I said, what do you do with Jesus? And I talked to that man for a while, and he jumped up. He said, I got to go. I just realized I got another appointment. And I told Teresa, I said, I gave that man so much truth from the Word of God that he jumped up, lied to me. I was his assignment for today. He didn't have another assignment. I was his assignment. I said, but the Word of God was so powerful, he could not take it, and he got up and lied to me and left. Now, that's what the Word will do. Knowledge is power, my friends. It will shut the mouth of the lions and the devil and the demons if you'll just quote the Word of God. So who is the true God? Well, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. He's the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the God that so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gives us Zoe, the life of God. Zoe, hallelujah. That's God's life imparted into us. He's the God that said, I sent my Son into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's the God who said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son hath not life, but shall come into condemnation. Now, that's the true God. And he's the God of all flesh. He said, is there anything too hard for me? And, you know, we all go through trials and stuff. But guess what? God is with us. God is for us. God is in us. And we just keep talking to God. with knowledge and understanding of his word. He's the true God. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know the true and the living God, don't you? I want to know the God of the Bible. God is not the author of our troubles. God is not the author of sickness and disease. We know that here. God does not make you sick to teach you a lesson. God is not the one who sends the storms and the troubles into our life. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Pastor Ricky gave me a book on Job. I just finished reading it. I'm reading on that and meditating on it. And Brother Ray and Sister Julia, they sent me, "What about Job?" And I like that man that on that sermon, because I have memorized every one of those scriptures that man talked about. And I know that picture of Jesus. Job didn't have a mediator. He said that there is no days, man, between me and God. I wished I had somebody to mediate. That word means mediate. Well, the Bible says in our case, since Calvary, there's one God and one mediator between God and man. That is the man, Christ Jesus. Job didn't have a mediator. He had nobody. Job didn't even know the narrative. Job didn't know that the devil had gone up and talked to God and had God's permission to smite his children. And then he goes up a second time and God says, well, he said, "You hedged him in. If you just let me smite him." So he said, "Let me smite him." Or he said, "You smite him." God said, "You can touch him." See, God is good. And he said, "You can't kill him." And Job goes through that terrible trial. But what happened at the end? God gave him double for all his trouble. And when we go through things and God looks at what the devil is doing to us and we come out victorious, God gives us double for all the trouble. The people who do know their God, they should be strong and do exploits. Look at John 1:18. I love this. It says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, or who came out of the bosom, or came out of the heart of God, he hath declared him." My daddy had a hard time with that verse. He did. I told him, I said, "Daddy," I said, "Jesus, when John wrote that gospel, he had already gone back to be with the Father." I said, "But he came out of the heart of God." Look at that verse. "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father." Now, Jesus has already been resurrected. "Or who came out of the heart or the bosom of God, he hath declared him." So Jesus came to make the Father known. And some things, we look through a glass darkly and we have to pray to get, what does that really mean? Well, he came to make the Father known. He came to reveal the Father. He came to do the works of the Father. So when you see Jesus walking through the pages of the Bible, I love to preach this. You've already seen the invisible God. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." See, Jesus is the physical, in the Bible, visible representation of the invisible God, God the Father. Look at Colossians 1:15. Now, I like scripture, so I'll give you some scripture on that. Paul is speaking of Jesus, who is the image, look at that, of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. In other words, you could not get born again until this God, Jesus, came in the flesh, was resurrected, the firstborn from the dead, so that you and I could become sons and daughters of God through his blood. And that's a great mystery until God opens your eyes to see it. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creation. Look at this. Now we know he's the creator. "For by him were all things created, that in heaven, that in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Well, if all things were created by him and I was created by him and you were created by him and for him, he wants us healthy. He wants us blessed. He wants us walking in the victories that he paid for at Calvary's cross. And when you know that God of the Bible, you will have to fight the devil every inch of ground you ever take. But it's worth the victory. It's worth the fight. I'm a fighter. I love a good fight. And I've read the book, We Always Win. Hallelujah. I've told a story when I was a little boy. I was not the biggest guy. I had older brother and I had older cousins. And they were bigger than I was. And they were always picking on me. And I would get my combat boots at Christmas. And when they came into me, I knew one thing. If I just kick them right in that shin, they would drop over like that. And when they did, I'd go to work on them. So why you want another set of combat boots? Because I had older brothers and older cousins. I'll never forget. Y'all know Brother Ronnie, he and my cousin Larry, they took me one day and put me around a telephone pole and were pulling me hard as they could. And finally I started crying. That's what they were trying to get me to do. And they got down and they were walking off laughing. And I was on a railroad track. And I looked down and saw those gravel. I picked up one of them and hurled it. That thing hit Ronnie in the back of the head and opened his head up about that big. I didn't get to ride home. I had to walk home because I wasn't about to go face all of that. But I had to later. But that's the environment that we grew up in. And we were always playing and having fun and fighting. But they were older than me and they were bigger. So I had my combat boots. That's the parable of the combat boots. Hallelujah. Look at this. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Can you imagine Jesus, Emmanuel, walking on this earth and you get to see him? He came walking on this earth, the mighty God in a human body. Yet the Bible says the mystery God had hidden for ages is Christ in you, the hope of glory. If the princes of his world had known that mystery, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So now God walks around in us. Hallelujah. I tell you, he said, I want you to do the works I did. I love this right here. Look at Mark 16:17. This frees me to pray right here. These signs shall follow them that believe. That's what Jesus said. It should free you forever. You should never be intimidated when you pray for the sick. Are you a believer? Then you're qualified. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, you have a biblical right to speak in tongues. Some people said, oh, I'm afraid that's me. Well, it is. But the Holy Ghost has given the vocabulary. You know, he gives us those utterances. Look, I like this. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents. That don't mean we handle snakes. It means like Paul, when that viper came out of heat, he shook him off. They were waiting for him to die. He said, I can't die. He said, I'm on my way to Rome. He said, I got a word from God. I can't die. You know, some people can't die. Peter couldn't die. You know why Peter couldn't die? Because God, they killed James, the brother of Jesus, and they said, John, they said, we're going to put Peter, and we're going to kill him too. Well, they couldn't kill Peter. Jesus said, when you're an old man, they're going to lead you where you don't want to go. And the Bible says, this spake he of his death. So he couldn't die. They put him in prison. He goes to sleep. The church is praying. Guess what? The angel of the Lord comes, walks in there. Everybody just passes out. He smites Peter. Peter's fast asleep. He said, get up. We're getting out of here. Now watch God. This is how good God is. He leads him through those quadrennials of soldiers there. He takes him through the gate. The gate opens on its own accord. He realizes where he is. He knows his way now. An angel disappears. God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. But when it comes time for you to do for yourself, God expects you to do what you can do. All these things mean something. You need to know that God. Let me give you some quick points about knowing God. I'll give them to you real quick. Number one, you got to know that God is a rewarder. He's not the one who punishes us. He's the one who rewards us. Look at Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I cannot diligently seek God and not get rewarded. I must believe. The first principle of faith is in an invisible, unseen God. And I must believe he is. And I must believe if I will seek him, that he will openly reward me. Others are going to see it. They might not like it, but they'll just have to see it. That's why I like to say, I'm so blessed and highly favored of God. And I like for you to say it, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. I am who God said I am. I have what God said I have. I can do what God said I can do. I just feel like I could run through the truth and leap over the wall when I say those things. And when I quote what God has said about me. So God is a rewarder. Takes faith to please him. Look at number two. He's a blessing God. I just put some scripture together real quick here. Look at this, Ephesians 1:3. The Bible says, blessed be the God and our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. You said hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us. Hath is past tense. I am not looking to be blessed. I am blessed. You are blessed. It's already done. We just got to walk into it and accept it by faith. Hallelujah. He came to bless us. He came to heal us. He hath blessed us. Look at number three here. He's a delivering God. Now, these are Paul's revelations right here. You don't find this outside of Paul. Look at Colossians 1:13. Who hath, past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. It goes on to say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. He said, I forgave your sins. Don't you forget all my benefits. I will heal you. I will crown your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. I will deliver you. I will satisfy your mouth with good things. I will take care of you, everything of your in your life. I am your God. And so he's a blessing God and he's a delivering God. He's a rewarding God. Fourthly, he's a healing God. I love this. That word Jehovah means the God who reveals himself. That's what Jehovah means. And in the Old Testament, God, when they came out of Egyptian bondage, the first name where the waters were bitter that God revealed himself to those people at was, I am your Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord, your healer. They came out. I mean, can you imagine 3 million people? They've been in slavery and they're old and bent over and arthritis and they haven't had enough to eat and they're getting ready to come out. And he said, I want you to take the blood, put it over the doorpost. I want you to eat the sacrificial lamb. And when the death angel comes, said he's going to have to pass over. I can just imagine, you know, here goes granddaddy, he's all bent over like this, walks under that, snap, crackle, and pop, boom, woo! And they get to the waters there, and they couldn't understand, we're all healed, what's happened? God said, I did it, I did it, I did it. I'm your Jehovah Rapha. I'm the healer. And so those stories, they mean something. They're not fables. That's the word of God, how powerful God is. And so he's a healing God. He knows that, you know, any doctor, he knows that I'm praying with somebody right now. They need a miracle. The doctor's done everything they can do, but I still believe for miracles. This person's believing. And, you know, he's the God of the Bible. He's God of who he said he is. Think about the doctors, the nurses, the medical world. They run out of ability. Some people run to the doctor. The first place I go to is Jesus. I go to my heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. I go, and the last thing I go to is medical science. Just the way I'm geared. How do you live like that? Because I choose to live like that. And God has blessed me and blessed me and blessed me. And when the doctors showed me my heart up there and I saw 4 blockages and I'd been telling them for 15 years something's wrong with me and they tried to tell me I was depressed. I said, if I'm depressed, the whole world's in trouble. I told my wife, I said, they tell me that when I go back, I'm going to preach a sermon on Jesus like they never heard. And I was so disappointed when I went back that doc didn't mention Jesus. But I tell you what, when they sent me to Wake Hospital and I looked up and I saw four arteries blocked, I didn't argue with anybody. You know, I knew those things had to be fixed. And they operated on them, half of them shut in. Guess what? I got a 12-inch scar down my chest. I'm praying for a hernia right there. Just a back gone. Hallelujah. Some of y'all prayed for me. I want that thing to disappear. I don't want it. And God is the God of all flesh. He said, is there anything too hard for me? I said, no, Lord. You're my source. The doctors are limited. God is not limited. God can do anything Jerry Nelson will believe him for. Anything I will believe him for, he will do it. He knows, you know, how to heal his people. Look at this, 1 Peter 2:24. We love to quote it. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That is not a promise of God. The promise is in Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. The fulfillment is in Matthew 16, 8 and 16. They brought the people that were sick to Jesus. He cast out the spirit with his word. He healed all that was sick that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. When Peter wrote that, Jesus had been crucified. He had been resurrected. He had gone back to the Father. He had sent the Holy Ghost. He's writing under the inspiration of the Spirit. And he said, this is not a promise. This is a fact. Look at it. Read it. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. It's past tense. It was taken care of at Calvary. He's a great God. He's our Jehovah Rapha. I love to say that. Jehovah Rapha. Hallelujah. Jehovah Rapha. Be it unto me according to your word, Lord. Number five, he's a loving God. Look at this right here. 1 John 4 and 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. I wish the church could get that. Let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God. And look at this. And knoweth God. If you don't love, you don't know God. You know religion. You know church. That's about it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. God is love. We love him supremely, and then we must love others that are created in his own image. My wife's sister brought a little picture today to our house. She's going to be a great-grandmother. Yeah, I ain't got her that far. It takes a lot of generation. But she brought that picture, and this grandchild of hers is barely showing. And you can see the face, the nose of that little child. And I looked at that bundle of love there immediately. I thought, children are heritage of the Lord. And I took that little picture of that little child that people in this nation, Christians, voted for. I'm staying out of politics. For people that want to abort those little babies. And I looked at that and I laid my hand on that picture. And I prayed God's blessings upon that child in the womb. Children are heritage of the Lord. And the reward is the fruit of the womb. God is love. He's a giving God, Pastor Ricky. God so loved the world he gave. So he's a rewarding God, he's a blessing God, he's a delivering God, he's a healing God, he's a loving God, he's a giving God, and then he's a God of mercy. He's a merciful God. You and I run out of mercy, but God never runs out of mercy.
I'm so glad.
Brother Ray sings a song, Mercy Walked In. His mercy's from everlasting to everlasting. And I thought about this, God, and my own failures, a lifetime of rejecting Him. But you can't sin so much, and you can never go beyond His mercy. And He reaches down to each of us. Look at 2 Corinthians 1 and 3. I love this. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That, my friend, is the God we serve. And that's the God that we know. And that's the God that wants us to know Him much more intimately. And the only way I can know Him is to take the pages of this book and read them and stop and meditate and say, God, speak to me. Show me. God, You sent me to pastor a people. And God, I need help. I'll never forget this when I first started pastoring. I said, God, I don't know how to do this thing. You'll have to help me. And I kept telling God, I don't know how to do it. Lord, help me. I don't know how to do this thing. And the Lord spoke to me, said, don't you ever say that to me again. I will show you how to do it. And I am what I am. By the grace of God. Isn't God good? They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And God's word is essential to your prayers. Let us stand.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God is so
good. God is so good. God is so good.
Oh, yes, He is.
God is so good. We're going to sing that next verse, God Answers Prayer. If you're with your family, lay your hand on one another and pray for one another. He answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. God answers prayer.
Yes, He does.
God answers prayer. He's so good to me.
I love Him so.
I love Him so.
And I love Him so.
Yes, we do, Lord. I love Him so.